Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Before we get to my guest, just a reminder, my one-man show, Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak, still running on Broadway. I think Hamilton's getting scared of me, man. I'm coming for it. Anyway, you go to telecharge.com for tickets. I hope you guys can come check it out. I've been really proud of it. It's going great. It's Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak, and it's on Telecharge at the Actors Temple Theater. Hope you can make it to out to check out a show. It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to keep it going. My guest this week, a terrific actor and somebody that I've admired for a long, long time. You've seen him in film and television, on the stage. You know him best probably from his role in the original Ghostbusters movie. He currently stars in the new hit series, The Family Business, on BET. And he can be seen in Gracie and Frankie on Netflix. Welcome, Ernie Hudson. Ernie, great to have you on the show. Been a big admirer of your work for a long time.
Well, thank you so much, man. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, I've never had a guest having so many things that they're working on at the same time. It's pretty incredible. You currently have a show called The Family Business, which is on BET, where you play the patriarch of a multi-generational the family, and it's based on the New York Times bestselling author Carl Weber's novels. But you're also working on a Fox series, APB, Gracie and Frankie on Netflix. On Graves, you play Lily Tomlin's boyfriend. And so, when do you have time to sleep?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think things sort of fall into a natural rhythm, and as long as you sort of, you know, stay on top of them, it's kind of, things kind of work out. When I get a little too far ahead of myself and start to worry, then things kind of become difficult. But I do The Family Business, where I play the patriarch of the Duncan family, and that's on BET,
right?
Tuesday nights, and it's a lot of fun. Grace and Frankie, it's on Netflix with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, and I play Lily Tomlin's boyfriend. I did three seasons. I wasn't in this current one, but I've rumored they'll come back and ask. They haven't officially done that, so we'll see if that happens. So, you know, it's a business. It sort of flows and changes, but I'm having more fun. I will say The Family Business is the most fun I've had working on a show, maybe ever in television. I mean, it's...
Why is that? What is it about it that's making it so fun?
You know, when I first started acting in 1966, I got involved with theater, and we were a theater group, and, you know, you rehearse together, you have this sense of family, and this is the first show that I've worked where I love the cast. I'm executive producing, so I'm involved in everything, and I'm a part of. I think so much of the shows, I go in as an actor, I do my job, I leave. You contribute, but, you know, I don't have an input. Whereas this is something that feels like family, and it is a wonderful platform for actors who normally don't get a chance to play this range of emotions, and there's a lot going on with the show, and seeing them sort of develop and do what they do. So it's just, it feels like family, and it's a lot of fun. And I think it shows on screen. The show in just 4 weeks made it to the top 10 of most watched cable shows, which is really extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But so the response has been amazing, but it's just a great cast, and Carl Weber is an amazing writer. So all those elements, makes it really, really special. I enjoy the other shows as well, but this is a show that I'm just totally involved with.
You had said in an interview that I had looked at before we talked that there was a time when you felt like you were the only Black actor in Hollywood, and I was curious as to how sort of roles for Black actors and actresses have you seen change over the years in terms of you know, what's available and the depth of the characters, and particularly what about the character in Family Business that spoke to you, or do you feel is, warranted you sort of taking it on?
Well, you know, I read the book, The Family Business. Carl Weber is a 27-time New York Times bestseller. Mm-hmm. He's written a lot of books, but The Family Business, I think there are 9 books in that series. And I love this character. I love this family. Carl and I first came together maybe about, I don't know, 10 years ago. It was a while back. And I wanted to see this, you know, being made. And so we shot it as a couple of movies, and then BET decided to show it as a series. But yeah, over the years, you know, there just weren't a lot of roles for people, I won't say minorities, but people of whatever color, you know, it doesn't matter, Asian or African or whatever. But I think this whole push for diversity has helped. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing what the fact that the Black Panther is nominated for an Academy Award. I mean, that's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So I think the door has opened, and you know, the creativity in front of and behind the scene, and the family business. 80% of the behind the scene crew are women, and so that's. Didn't happen before. And also, I think Carl writes in a way. Carl, as a writer, he's African-American, but the stories he tells, these characters are, I understand these characters, but they're so much closer to my own experience. And to see that make it to the screen, that's really special, because I think there's an integrity to the truth-telling in that. And so that, yeah, it's, if anybody who says things haven't changed, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
this is a new day.
Yeah,
we tell that story of what's not possible, and realize that the possibilities are, you know, are extraordinary, and they're out there. Even on Grace and Frankie, I mean, there are people of color working behind the scenes. The fact that I'm playing Lily Tomlin's boyfriend, that wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I love that, and I'm excited about that, and. Makes me really proud to be a part of the business.
Did you feel coming up, and as you became, you know, more and more of a name, and therefore, you know, have a little bit of say in at least what you do, and maybe a little bit of power, that in seeing roles that weren't particularly, you felt, you know, for people of color, well written or stereotypical, or didn't advance a positive image of Black men, let's say, have you found yourself, or did you find yourself at the time being comfortable enough to say something, speak up, or just pass on the project? How empowered did you feel in that way when that's those situations, if they came about?
Well, yeah, I think sometimes people have presented things that I just would read and I just could not relate for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And so you just walk away. I feel the only power you have is to say yes or no. And if you say yes, you can't say yes and still complain about it, you know, bitch about it. And
yeah.
So do it or you don't do it. And if you're not going to do it, you just don't do it. If you do it, though, you got to kind of bring your best to it. So, I remember I did a show called Highcliff Manor, and I took the role, and it was so stereotypical. And finally, I just said, I can't do this. And but what I learned from that is I left the set, and they came to me, and they changed. They made a lot of really big changes to make it comfortable for me. So a lot of times we just assume when we don't speak up. So I learned that if something really bothers me, I just... you know, you just have to say, listen, I'm not going there. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I think now people are writing in a different voice. You know, I know a lot of times shows, they're well-meaning, but the writing doesn't, you know, the language isn't the way that I would, you know, I'm an actor. I can make anything work. That's my job. I don't feel it's my right to change somebody else's, you know, whatever.
Right.
But I can give you my input, and that hasn't always been welcome. But I think now people are much more open to, you know, what we bring to the table, which is why I'm executive producing on The Family Business, because I want to be able to have my voice heard.
Yeah.
And but now there are writers who are telling a story from a different perspective, and mm-hmm. that's There's a movie out called The Beale Street to Talk, and it's a beautiful love story, but it's written from a perspective that I haven't seen before. And I love that. I love the possibilities are really opening up. But I think we have to really be careful and continue to remind ourselves that it is opening and the positive, because we're just bombarded with people trying to convince us that things are worse. They're not, you know, of the negative. I think we got to hold on to the positive.
That's good. That's good to hear. I mean, you know, I agree with you. You know, I've been noticing, and I go up for commercials too as an actor, and I've been in some, I see a lot of commercials that have interracial couples now, like, especially in the last 12 to 24 months. Like,
They had the one commercial that they got so much heat from, I can't remember, it was this kid and dad. It was an interracial couple, and people were so upset. But they said, you know what, we're going to run it anyway. And then, yeah, I mean, I see it. And I think that's great. I think that's who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Italian. So I go up for, there was a time when I was only going up for like pizza and spaghetti sauce rolls. Like apparently Italians can't, or anybody who had sounded like they were in the mafia. Like apparently the people that make commercials or whatever, making stuff in Hollywood, you know, it's gotten better. It's not nearly as bad as it's been for African Americans. But, you know, if you're Italian, you pretty much, you know, you're good for like anything that's the guy selling stuff out of the trunk of his car. Or if you need to buy some spaghetti sauce, I'm your guy. Hey, Ernie, do me a favor, sit tight for a quick second. I got a little business I want to take care of. Folks, cost a little money to bring this podcast to you. And we appreciate you supporting my sponsor, which allows us to bring this to you. My sponsor, Mac Weldon. I'm wearing their underwear right now. No joke. It's a big deal for me because I had a certain type of underwear I wore my whole life. And I'm glad I made the switch. But Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. It was really easy. I just went online, clicked a couple of times, boom, I'm sitting in new underwear. If you go to MackWeldon.com and use the code Paul, you get 20% off your order. MackWeldon.com, use the code Paul. And let me tell you, they're great. They're really comfortable. It's the most comfortable underwear I've worn. They got great socks, shirts, undershirts. Real simple. I've been a tidy whitey guy my whole life. I got to change it up. I did. I went with Mack Weldon. Their briefs, first of all, they're black, which is very, makes me feel very edgy and international. I think I'm going to probably start manscaping now. It's got a big band, which I like because you keep a pen in there or carrots. I keep carrots in my underwear. You got a problem with that? And also, it's really, 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 really comfortable. I can't stress that enough. If you don't like your first pair, by the way, you can keep it and they'll refund you your money, okay? Go to MackWeldon.com, use the code Paul, you get 20% off. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. And I practiced that word three times, so go buy their underwear. They got a lot of great stuff. Go to their site, MackWeldon.com. Use the promo code Paul. You get 20% off. Can't recommend it enough. I'm wearing the underwear. I'm actually only wearing my underwear right now, which is probably why a lot of my guests want to do interviews on the phone with me. MackWeldon.com. Use the promo code Paul. You get 20% off. Now, Ernie, you were in the Marines, and then you, if I understand this correctly, you moved to Detroit and you became a resident playwright. Were you writing in the Marines? Were you, was this idea of entertainment and acting and writing something that was sort of coming out of you as a young kid, or is this something that started when you were in the Marines and then you pursued it? How did that flow?
Well, you know, as a kid, I think I've always was looking for something, and I used to try, you know, I was doing some writing, but I grew up in a community that, you didn't even entertain that anything was possible.
Right.
And the most I could hope for was going to the Marines. That was my answer to everything. I figured if I go to Marines, then I'll have an opportunity to do something. But you didn't entertain that I could have a career, because I didn't even think, yeah. But going to Marines, but I was only, and I probably should clear that up too, I was only in the Marine Corps 9 weeks,
mm-hmm.
because I'm allergic to shellfish and and I had asthma. And so this was in 1964. So I was discharged because of the asthma, and I found myself back in my hometown without any possibilities. And from that point on, I started to, I got married really young, right out of, you know, when I was still a kid, the Marines, of course, I got married. But I began to sort of say, okay, you know, I trust God, I trust the universe, I know that this is possible. And and managed to get into college, and that's where I discovered theater, and that's when I began to think career. I was doing a lot of writing, especially in the old days. I got a scholarship to Yale as a playwriting student. So, but acting was always the fun part of it. Acting was stuff that you do and you don't have to think about. And I think that's why it became to the forefront of everything. But yeah, it took me sort of having to go to the largest city to sort of open up and see that this is possible. I just felt as a kid that at best I can get a job working maybe in a factory or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you had said, you just alluded to it, and you had said something that I read that I found really interesting. And frankly, something that I personally struggle with as a performer myself. You said, I think you were asked, generally you were asked sort of like, you know, how is it that you've been able to have such a great body of work and do this, all this great work at such a high level for such a long time, and the amount of work that comes your way. And you said, quote, I giving up trying to get stuff and allowing things to happen. And then you talked about your grandmother who instilled in you, in quote, you said, a belief in God as a presence there for me, not to qualify me as good or bad, but always there and having faith in it. Sometimes personally, you know, you hold on so tight, like, I want this thing, I want this role, like, you go for the audition, you obsess about it. And how do you get to that place where you can just go, you know what, this isn't meant for me, it's meant for me. If it isn't, it isn't. How'd you get there?
Yeah, I think, my grandmother, she raised me, and I grew up not having or knowing who my father was. And so she really stressed the fact that God is my father. The universe is created me, that brought me into being. And that same universe is there, is a presence that is with me, that is me, that sort of knows everything, and it wants me to have this life. So first off, I got to trust that. And that's what I've always trusted. People say, well, Hollywood, people will be people. But what I do know is that when I give or when I extend the best part of myself, it comes back, but it doesn't necessarily come back in the way or from the people or the places that I think it will, but it will come back. And so when I would do a movie and something, you know, people didn't, give back, somebody else from somewhere else who I never heard of, it still comes. I think people get angry and frustrated because they did this thing for this person and that person never, and so now they're stuck in that space. Mm-hmm. I just know that the universe will, there's a job out there, and if I give everything I have, it gives back to me, and it always have. And so I've always trusted that, and I know the business is a business and I understand it, but I don't trust the business. I do trust this presence. You can call it God, call it whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But it has always sustained me and has never failed me. And the problem I had with religion, whatever helps you, but I don't like the idea of the good or bad aspect. If you don't do this, then the universe don't love you. I don't believe that.
Yeah. Well, it's really a great outlook. It's something I'm trying to do. We got a wrap. Looking forward to Ghostbusters 2020. Hope we're going to see you in it. We can see you now in the family business on BET, and then Grace and Frankie, and continued success. It's really been great talking to you. This has been Ernie Hudson. Great to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you.